You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 290. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2015, and my name is Steve. I am joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And guys, let's get to it. In tonight's show, we'll look at some player stats and decide if they're meaningful or not. We'll discuss the race for the fourth and fifth spots in the starting rotation. We'll talk about the platoon in left and also give our first guesses at the opening day batting order. But first, guys, some salacious rumors and vulgarities. Well, not really, but kind of. So, if you guys remember, about a month ago, someone retweeted something on Twitter from a tattoo artist who was trashing Jordan Schaefer about not paying some bill or that he was a big jerk. And he tweeted a photo of a supposed tattoo on Jordan Schaefer's buttocks that I won't describe, but it's a part of the male anatomy. And it was pretty vulgar and graphic. And we discussed it offline and we were all like, well, this is insane. How could this ball player have this tattoo? And it just seemed crazy. But it was very interesting for sure. So flash forward to this past weekend, and a buddy of mine is down in Orlando at the Wild World of Sports facility watching the Braves. And he sends me a text and tells me he's sitting next to a woman who knows Schaefer, and he brought up the tattoo story, and she said she was immediately going to text Schaefer and ask him about it. So while that's happening, I text the buddy and I'm like, well, how does she know Schaefer? How real is this? And she said that she not only knew Schaefer in high school, but that she is currently the girlfriend of a player on the Gwinnett roster today. So and she gave the guy's name. I won't give the guy's name, but whatever. We'll take that as it is. But so she came back like 5 minutes later and said that Jordan responded to her and said that he's a deranged tattoo artist who has some beef with him. They're in a fight. And something about like a touch-up gone wrong. And the whole thing's a big lie.
Hmm.
So, what do you guys think? Fair or foul? Does Schaefer have that insane tattoo on his buttock?
No.
Curtis?
I would hope not. And I hope it's something that like he didn't pass out and, you know, was going to have him put lips on it or something. As a result, that's what he got.
My God, if he passed out, he passed out for like 17 hours.
He had like 8 Reese's cups before he went in there.
Exactly. Well, I hope folks know what we're talking about or go out and Google it. But
yes,
it was really insane. And I was very excited to get that update this weekend. All right, guys, so on to the show. So with all the new faces in camp and all the guys trying to bounce back from last year's rough, you know, stats, let's look at some stats from this spring, and let's play meaningful or not meaningful. And we'll start with Chris Johnson. So heading into today, Chris Johnson's slash line is 133, 161, 133. So basically all singles and a walk. So Hammy, meaningful or not meaningful?
I think it's pretty meaningful. You know, I think he's on a short leash. I don't think he has maybe the job security that he may have had in the past. So the fact that he's not doing well, I think is meaningful for him. And I don't think we have to treat him obviously like Ugla or Upton, where we're just going to keep putting him out there. There's so many roster spots open that I think he's just like one of the other guys. And I think if he is going to continue this in the regular season, he'll sit.
Yeah,
I think he's on a short leash.
What I don't know. I think his leash is maybe a little longer. For one thing, you know, there's 3 more years and $23 million in the, you know, in the offing. And what, Turdoslovich is not a great defender. Rio Ruiz, you know, who we got from, who did we
get? San Diego.
I think that was San Diego, yeah, as part of the Justin trade. I mean, I think he's the third baseman of the future, but he didn't stick around too long this spring. He wasn't hitting great. If he goes bonkers in the minors, maybe. You know, all this gets mitigated a little bit because he's working with the hitting coach and he's changed his hand position and, you know, he's working stuff out. But yeesh, 133 is pretty ugly. Kurt, what do you think?
Absolutely. I think it's concerning. You mentioned that he's changed his batting stance some, but I think the guy that will have a better shot of making the team now as a result is Kelly Johnson, who played a lot of third base for the Yankees just a couple of years ago, just last year, I guess, with A-Rod being out all year long. So I think that's a guy that could potentially, and I mean, you know, it's not going to be a player that you're going to get much out of, but Kelly Johnson is versatile and can also play the outfield. But I think that he's a guy that might end up in that role position, a bench player that we keep because he can play third base. And I'm not sure that Chris Johnson has a long leash. I think that this is a total evaluation process with everybody on this team. They're doing it with Melvin. So if they're going to be willing to sit that much money, then I think that Chris Johnson, I don't know that his money plays that big of a role.
Yeah. All right. So Curtis, Andrelton Simmons is hitting his slash line 440, 440, 560. So no walks, but he certainly got a high batting average. So meaningful or not meaningful?
I think it's meaningful. I think it's exciting. I mean, he's one of the guys we talked about with Chris Johnson that it's so important that they get back something of what they had a couple of years ago. And it's encouraging to see that at least one of the guys seems to have refound something. So we only hope that, you know, obviously he's not going to bat that high all season long, but that some of it carries over to the regular season and we get some of him back. I mean, you know, he never is a guy that walks. So I don't know that that's something that we really need to focus on too much. But yeah, it's a good sign.
Yeah. I mean, last year's 244, certainly to see him batting 440, 440 in the spring is a great sign. And he doesn't look to be falling over as much in the batter's box as he was last year. I mean, he got into such terrible habits.
Yeah.
Ham, meaningful?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if the Braves are going to have a hope to contend this year, Simba can't be a fringe offensive player, like inconsistent, some, you know, hitting 240. He's got to be a real contributor to this lineup. So he's got to hit, you know, high twos, even the low threes for the Braves to have a shot. So I think this is meaningful.
All right. Johnny Gomes, 129, 200, 129. Hammy, meaningful or not meaningful?
You know, not meaningful. He's more of a veteran. He's probably working on some stuff. So I think this is where, you know, spring training numbers are not that leading. I think he's pretty secure in what his role is going to be here on the team. A lot of Ks, but he does have 7 RBIs. So, you know, that's encouraging. So I don't take a lot out of these stats.
Curtis, how about you?
No homers though. So that's kind of what you, you know, I guess that's just what we're going to get. I mean, but he is our starting left fielder, so it's a little worrisome. And Evan Gattis, you know, they're effectively the same defensive player. And I know that obviously we had to get rid of Evan Gattis due to certain reasons, but you know, I mean, that's a pretty diminished trade in return that's the guy that's going to replace him. So,
yeah, I mean, I look at that a little differently. For one thing, he's our starting half of a platoon left fielder, and he's also going to be better. He's going to be a better defender than Gattis ever will. He's logged so many more innings in left.
Yeah.
Than Gattis. I think he'll be better defensively. You know, he hit 160 in the spring in 2014, 281 in 2013. It probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's not a big batting average guy anyway.
I mean, right. He's a career 244 hitter.
Yeah.
And of course, a lot of that is hitting lefties. So, all right. Hammy Betancourt is hitting 346, 600, 946.
Yes. That's very encouraging. You know, I mean, I think that we know he's solid defensively. It's exciting that he's doing this in spring training. He's had other good springs before, I believe. But if he's, you know, can even do a portion of this offensively and be a defensive catcher, then I think that would be awesome. And I think we need that.
Yeah. Meaningful or not meaningful, Kurt?
I would say meaningful, yeah. And we obviously have some spaces that we need to fill offensively. So if we can get some contributions out of Betancourt, that really will help out this team a lot.
Yeah, I think it's huge for his confidence, if nothing else, right? He hit 248 in 100-plus at-bats last year. he's got, you know, it's got to be good for the mental side of the game for him. I'm more concerned about his defense. You know, six passed balls in 260 innings last year was not good. I mean, his arm, obviously his arm is always going to be good, but I'm hoping that, you know, he sort of shores that up. All right, Curtis, Eric Young Jr., our presumed starting center fielder. He's going 244, 354, 390, and I'll throw in five stolen bases because that's, you know, a big part of his game. So meaningful, not meaningful.
Again, I think it's meaningful. I mean, if you try and compare that to Melvin again, I mean, that's, you know, it's like he's Ty Cobb or something batting 400. So, yeah, it's you know, we're going to need some production out of some of these role players, some of these fill-in players, whatever we want to call Eric Young Jr. at this point, and a guy that is probably going to log some innings because if Upton can't get it back together, they've already kind of indicated that he's going to be sat if he can't get his act together. So, yeah, meaningful to me.
Yeah, Hammy, meaningful or not meaningful?
It's meaningful. You know, I sort of wish that he was I want a higher OBP from our leadoff hitter, and we'll get to that later, but I think that's sort of who we need him to be. But it's meaningful. It's promising. Certainly better than the alternative.
Yeah, to me, it's what I'd expect. Good to see that he didn't fall off a cliff in some way in the offseason. So it's expected. But, you know, the guy's a 250 hitter. That's what we're going to get. It's a big improvement over Melvin, what we've had the last couple years. And he fits into the game that the Braves are going to play this year. I mean, it was really on display today. A lot of small ball, lots of bunts, lots of running. He's perfect for it. So, you know, meaningful in that, good to see he's the player that we thought he was. All right, Ham, we'll finish up with Jace Peterson, who is also our presumed second baseman. 355, 444, and 419. Meaningful or not meaningful?
It's so meaningful. it's like, it's, you know, after what we have endured with UGLA and then everything sort of soon thereafter, it's so meaningful, the prospect of having a great second baseman. I'm very excited about Jace Peterson over anybody else coming out of spring. And yeah, we need him. Yet another thing we need.
You know, I can't even think of his name. Who was the guy that we brought up last year, the Italian last name?
Yeah,
and he
yeah.
was great for a little bit, and then he sort of fell off a cliff, traded to the Cubs. I can't even think of his name. But it would have been interesting if one of you guys can think of it and have a browser up. I'd be interested to see what his spring training numbers are. Oh, I can't believe I can't remember his name.
I know.
Curtis?
I know.
LaStella. Yeah, I've got it right here. LaStella. So spring training last year, he batted.
No, what about this year? What's he doing this year?
Oh, well, that'll take a minute.
Okay. So yeah, you look at that. You know, Jace Peterson was in AAA last year. His slash line was 307, 402, 447. The guy can hit. And again, it's like Betancourt. This has got to be huge for the mental side of the game for him to come in and be so productive that somewhat out of nowhere, he's been given the starting second baseman job. I mean, at the start of spring training, it was all Peraza's going to come in a couple months when he's ready, and Alberto Callaspo's going to be the starting second baseman. That was really the thinking heading into spring training, and he came in and just took the job. I mean, I think his numbers are hugely meaningful.
Well, isn't it a little discouraging that Callaspo came in fat and out of shape? I mean, I obviously have no reference to which base that on. I don't know if this is something he does every year and then gets himself back into shape like Shaq did every single year. But, you know, I mean, it just seems like some of these guys were brought in for veteran leadership and stuff like that. That doesn't seem like he's setting a very good example.
Yeah, if it was 1963, it would be less, you know, disappointing that he's going to get himself into playing shape. In 2015, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. LaStella's having a very nice spring.
Yeah.
321, 387, 429.
Nice, but nothing compared to Jace.
Nothing.
That's right. Nothing.
All right, guys, a couple quick announcements. So all of our shows are also available on our YouTube channel, which you can find by going out there and searching Atlanta Baseball Talk. When you find us, please subscribe. Also, go out to our Facebook page. It is at facebook.com/AtlantaBaseballTalk. Go out there and like us. All right, so guys, on Friday last week, Freddie announced, this was kind of out of nowhere for me, Freddie announced that Wandy Rodriguez had won the fourth starting pitching spot, leaving one slot open until Mike Minor returned. So the four guys that are vying for that final spot are non-roster invitee Eric Stoltz, non-roster invitee Chin-Ming Wong, Astros prospect, you know, from the Gattis trade, Mike Foltynewicz, and then Braves AAA prospect Cody Martin, who also kind of came out of nowhere when he had to make that spot start for Minor. So here are their ERAs from the spring. Stoltz is at 2.57, and note that he can opt out of his contract if he's not on the opening day roster. Wong is at 2.70. He can opt out, or he cannot opt out until July. Foltynewicz is at 5.40. And then Cody Martin has zero runs allowed in eight innings pitched this year. So, Kurt, what do you think about these four guys? Who do you think gets that final slot?
Well, I was thinking it's Cody Martin, just because I think that they want to try. They know what all these other guys have done, and maybe give this guy a shot. But I think the Stoltz thing, I'm kind of changing. I know we talked about this before, but I think the Stoltz thing is going to end up getting him the job. And Cody Martin maybe will be a long reliever or something in the bullpen. I think a lot of these other guys are going to end up in AAA. I know I changed that up, but as I've thought about that more, I think the contractual thing with Stoltz is going to get him on the roster as the fifth starter.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Martin, just given so out of nowhere that his rise has been, it makes more sense to have him be the long reliever. Foltynewicz, it makes no sense to give him that job. Send him to AAA. I mean, his first start, it was his first or second start where he was so bad. I mean, he really recorded like, you know, one out, and they had to pull him after six runs. He admitted he was pressing and trying too hard, trying to impress. No reason not to send him to AAA. And Wong, given that he's not going anywhere until July, put him in AAA for depth. I think that Stoltz gets that too. Hammy, do you see it going any different?
No, I'm with you with Stoltz. I think he's just sort of veteran. I think he's getting a lot of ground balls, and I think that I think he's just something you can more dependable than those other guys, especially considering the contract status.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's move on to left field and also the outfield bench spot. So we assume that Johnny Gomes will be one half of a platoon in left field, getting the starts against lefty starters, his career splits. I mean, and it's, you know, it's gotten more so as he's, gotten on in his career. He hits lefties. He doesn't hit righties. So let's talk about who the other half will be. So presumed heading into the spring would be Zoilo Almonte, previously with the Yankees. He's hitting 184 this spring. So if Markakis is ready for opening day, which it looks pretty good, he's slated tomorrow, Monday, to be the DH and then start in right field on Tuesday. There's two bench spots left. So, and those guys vying for that probably are Turdoslovich, Kelly Johnson, Zoilo, Yuri Perez, that guy we got from the Nats, and then Todd Cunningham, you know, from AAA. Turdo's a switch hitter and can play third, but he's a sub-200 hitter against righties. Obviously, it's not a ton of data points. Kelly Johnson can play lots of infield and outfield and is a career 242 hitter against righties. Zoilo's struggling this spring, like we said, but he's out of minor league options and is a switch hitter. Yuri Perez is really the best other center field option. He's hitting 290 and he's also out of options. And then Todd Cunningham is hitting 281. He's doing good this year as well. I think they've got to keep Yuri Perez for center field because he's the best backup if EY goes down. particularly given that there's really no telling when Melvin comes back. You know, Kelly Johnson makes the most sense to me from versatility and better defense compared to Turdasovich. But Turdasovich has so much pop in his bat compared to most of the others in the lineup. I think those last two spots are Perez and then Turdasovich is the other half of that left field platoon. So, Curtis, what do you think there?
Yeah, I just think Kelly Johnson gets the job, as I was talking before. I just think that his ability to play so many different positions, they've emphasized a lot that they want a lot of guys other than the established guys, guys that can play various places. And Kelly Johnson, of course, can play first base too, to give Freeman a break. So I just think that that's probably, and I'm probably totally wrong. And I kind of want Turdasovich to kind of get another chance. But
there's two slots. So you think Kelly and Turdasovich?
Well, not if these other guys don't have the ability to get. I don't think they're going to risk losing both of those guys. So I think they'll try and keep one of them.
So you think Yuri and Kelly?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah, that's my pick.
Ham, any different opinion there?
No, I think it's Yuri and Turdasovich. I think they're playing long term with this one. And I think over the long haul, they're going to want, you know, if you think about this year, maybe you think about Kelly Johnson. I think if you think about 3 years from now, maybe you're gambling with Turdasovich and Perez. So I think that's what they go with.
All right, guys, let's move on to some quick hits. So earlier this week, the Rev, Pastrnicki, was released, our starting shortstop from a couple years ago, released by the team. When that announcement was made, I think it was Bowman tweeted that, you know, Pastrnicki was on the minor league roster, so he was on some of the backfields in Florida, and a scout reported that Pastrnicki was kind of pouting about being on the minor league roster and being on one of the backfields. So, Ham, do you care that Pastrnicki's gone?
I don't. I feel bad for the guy that right when he had his moment to seize, just much like Jace Peterson does this year, he got that knee injury. And I think that I feel bad for him. But I don't think we're not losing him or releasing him is not hurting the team.
Yeah. Curtis, how about you?
Yeah, same. It seemed like the only time him as a major league player that he kind of showed a little bit of something was that one little spurt he had.
Yeah,
right
when
before.
He was called back up. Is he the guy that collided with Hayward?
Yeah, Hayward tore his knee out.
Yeah.
And that was really that he showed life at that moment. And it's just I feel bad for the guy because. You know, I mean, I think so much of that is being confident, as you talked about before, with Betancourt. And I think that Pastrnicki maybe finally felt some comfort and some, you know, some confidence. And then it just got taken away from him that quickly. So,
yeah, I mean, I hope he gets picked up. He's a classic needs a change of scenery guy, though, at this point. I mean, to have been and I say jerked around. I don't even mean that in the negative sense, but. To be the starter and then to be sent down and replaced by Simmons and then to come up and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, he's got to have whiplash from his time with the Braves. He could use a new organization. I hope that he gets one, but no big impact to the farm system.
Future Kansas City Royal.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, guys, the Braves keep being linked to talks with Cuban infield Hector Olivera. Reports earlier this week that the Braves have offered him 4 years, $44 million, or as I like to call it, the Marcakis. There were also reports that the Marlins, the Padres, the Dodgers have all offered more. I read yesterday that, like, now there's talk of 6 years for him. You know, the guy's a career 323, 407, 505 hitter in Cuba, has some pop in his bat. But do you spend over 10% of your payroll on someone with a possible injury issue? And they've talked about that this offseason. And to me, there's something a little goofy about this guy. Like, why hasn't he signed yet? He switched agents. This has been going on for a long time. So Ham, do you think the Braves should invest in this guy?
No, I don't see why. And I don't see why he would want to come to the Braves right now either. I think the Dodgers will get him. So no.
Curtis, how about you?
No. And I mean, he's probably 5 years older than what they say he is anyway. So, but yeah, I don't think that, I mean, that you might offer that the Markakis for one of these types of guys with the Braves, that offer is the lowball offer.
Yeah, it is the lowball offer instead of the highball offer that it was for Markakis.
Because somebody will come in and throw a year on just to easily outbid the Braves.
So. Yeah, there's no way we're getting him, even if we wanted him and needed him.
I think it would be exciting. The PR would be interesting, and he would be an exciting player to have. But with Jace Peterson and Peraza in the wings, it just doesn't make sense to put money there.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice segue here that we worked this other Cuban deal out so well. So
yes, right. So staying in Cuba, Dion Toscano, still not in camp. Really no word from the Braves when he will be in camp. You know, it's one of these sort of paperwork holdups. So is this a big blow to us, Curtis?
I don't know that it's a big blow, but you would like the guy to get up here and get in some time against major league level pitching and to kind of acclimate himself to playing in the American League. I mean, the American baseball as opposed to Cuban baseball. So
they call that MLB.
Right.
Just for the
baseball Americano. But yeah, I would like him to be here. I don't know how big of a blow it is. But yeah, I would like to see him up here and see what he can provide as far as depth goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think things could have gone differently. If he was here for day one of the spring, he's a lefty. He would have made perfect sense as the other half of the platoon with Johnny Gomes. So yeah, I mean, it's a blow. It's a, you know, it possibly was a blow. We don't know how he would have been. But it'll be some good depth when he finally gets here. All right, so guys, let's predict our opening 1-8 batting order. I just want to do a shout out to Braves Reddit. Go out there. There's interesting stuff being posted there. And if you follow them on Twitter, I think they have a contest going for predict your opening day batting order. And they're giving away tickets or something. So go check Braves Reddit out on Twitter. All right, so Curtis, predict your 1-8 on opening day.
Well, I had put together one that seemed to make sense to me, just as far as where these guys I thought would lie. And then I realized it went left, 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 right, 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 right. So I don't think that they're going to go that
genius
way. Yeah. So I have Young, Simmons, Markakis, Freeman, Peterson, Betancourt, Chris Johnson, and then the left fielder.
Okay. I think, yeah, okay. I'll talk about it after. Hammy, what do you got?
I have Young, Peterson, Freeman, Markakis, Simmons, Johnson, Gomes, Betancourt, pitcher.
Okay, so I'm going Young, Markakis, Turdoslovich, assuming, so I have, you know, they're going to face Henderson Alvarez, I assume, game one against the Marlins, who's a righty. So I'm thinking Gomes won't be in. So Young, Markakis, Turdo, Freddie, Johnson, Simmons, Betancourt, Peterson, pitcher. I just don't think, guys, that Freddie's going to put guys like Peterson up way high day one, not put Chris Johnson as high as he can for his, you know, respecting the veteran and, you know, helping his state of mind and stuff, a la BJ in the number two for so long. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. There's so many guys who have no obvious place in the batting order.
Yeah.
Aside, you know, basically Eric Young, and that Freddie will be 3 or 4.
I think I like Freddie 3. And I think Simmons needs to be higher. I mean, I think that, you know, we talked about his offense earlier. If he can really hit like that and not fall over on every swing and be reliable, I mean, he's could be a 5 hitter, you know. I think we need him. He could have the power too. He needs to anchor our lineup.
I don't know. Curtis, what do you think? Anything to add there?
No. I mean, I guess the only other thing would be if they're hell-bent on having Markakis lead off and stick Young down at the bottom of the lineup or something like that.
Yeah, I think that, and they were certainly talking about Markakis leading off when he first arrived, but that was before, well, that was before BJ went down and Eric
Melvin.
Young, I'm sorry, that was, you know, and that one was legitimate. I wasn't just trying to, you know, like make fun of the name change. But that was before Melvin went down and that Eric Young sort of came on the scene. I just can't believe they put Markakis in the one spot.
God, can you – I mean, would there be a worse opening day third hitter than Turdoslovich? No offense to him and his mother and anybody else that might be listening, but I mean, holy cow.
Well, but if you don't put Freddie in the four, who did you guys have as the cleanup hitters?
Freeman and both of mine.
Okay.
I had Markakis.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, that's not,
we don't have
that's
a number
not
four.
Out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
It's actually not a bad call, except I just can't see him putting like Peterson two. It's so much pressure not to bury him down in the lineup. And Betancourt's got to be buried. I mean, Simba maybe is too.
But see, there's so many people that need to be buried. I think you give Jace Peterson the shot. I mean, this is where we need him to be when he's, you know, a full major league player and not nervous and everything. I think I say, why not? What do we have to lose? I hope that Freddie does that.
But I think you're right about Chris Johnson. I think he's going to get, I think he's going to bat fifth.
He'll be five. He'll be five. Six, like, you know.
Where do you guys have
on
Simmons?
On the outside. I have Simmons sixth.
Second.
Yeah, I mean, I think Simba's going to be two or six. So, Hammy, I owe you $20 because after the after one of our last shows afterward, we bet that I said that Freddie would not be the coach on opening day in 2015. Oh. Now, I'm not going to pay you until opening day.
Okay.
In case, you know, something really crazy.
Opening happened. Day 2030.
Yes, exactly.
But, Hammy, I will bet you some other amount of money that if Peterson's in the opening day lineup, he will be eighth. I'll take eighth versus the rest of the slots in the lineup. You want to take that bet? And you can name the amount.
So I can get any other slot.
You get,
so
get one through seven.
Seven and nine. I get nine all the way around through seven.
Yes, exactly.
I'll take the money you owe me from the other bet, the Freddie bet against that.
You're saying double or nothing.
I'm saying double or nothing. Peterson's not going to be betting eighth.
Okay. It's a bet. And it's on record.
Yes.
It's on the internet now.
Is that legal?
I think we just changed our legal status of our show.
All right, guys. Let's finish up with this. Now that we've seen more from the team, we've seen almost all of spring training at this point, do you guys think that the Braves can surprise this year? Hammy?
I do. I have to say I can a little bit more see them maybe stringing something together if all the chips fell the right way. I still wouldn't bet on that. I'm cheering for it. Absolutely 100%. But you know, I still think they could be just as bad as I thought they were going to be last week. But I think there's some more reason for optimism this week.
Well, so name a couple of those reasons, Sam.
I don't know. I mean, just I guess as you get closer to it and you start to shape the lineup more fully in your head, I'm excited by Jace Peterson. You can start to talk yourself into the Markakis thing. Simmons' numbers are big. And then Betancourt's numbers are doing well. And you're like, wow, Shelby Miller. I mean, there's these little things that can get you excited.
Miller looks great today. It's true.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't change the lineup. They're still the same players, but I think that
against the Toledo Mudhens.
Yeah. but I guess I can just see more of an identity for a potential team. Right? We all have the same pieces on our starting lineup. So you had Turdoslovich versus
Gomes,
but whatever. I mean, Gomes is going to be there. You know, I think you're starting to see a lineup and you're like, well, I guess so. Why not? Certainly in the East. Right, the Marlins could implode. The Phillies are going to be horrible. The Mets are not anything given.
Terrible about Zach Wheeler, by the way, for the Mets.
Yeah.
But that's a huge blow to them.
Yeah. So certainly in the East, I think we could surprise. It would be a huge surprise, I think, if we contended in any way, even for a wild card.
Curtis, any more optimism than a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, a little. I mean, it still disturbs me that they went like 8 of 11 games where they scored two runs or fewer, even in spring training. That doesn't seem good. And I think that's going to be their problem. I think that their pitching is going to be good to serviceable. I mean, I think their pitching will be like last year where it'll keep them in a lot of games. And it's just a matter of if they can find any sort of offense. And That's why I think, you know, we're all encouraged and excited about Peterson and Betancourt and Simmons and these guys that are putting up numbers, because frankly, we're groomed to kind of not expect some of this stuff out of these recent Braves lineups. So if they can have, as opposed to having like five black holes in their lineup, if they can only have two, then yeah, I mean, that's something to be at least excited and encouraged about. And that it's some of these young players too, that are the ones that are showing the most promise. I mean, that's why I don't really care that Gomes is batting 130 or whatever it is. I mean, it's much more exciting to see the other guys playing well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm heartened by I can play the game of if, and there's more ifs that I can sort of start to hang my hat on with second base and with catcher and with shortstop, speaking about offensive numbers. I don't think Chris Johnson's going to be an absolute dumpster fire this year. I think left field's going to be a bit of a dumpster fire this year. But I can, you know, Markakis, we all know, is going to be solid if he's healthy. You know, I certainly can't stop thinking about that article, Hammond, that you brought up on Grantland. That was it, Jonah Carey?
Yeah.
You know, taking the field of worst offense against the Braves.
Right.
There's certainly a lot to that. And you look at who walked out the door and who replaced him. It's hard to believe there's going to be offense. But it was interesting to watch today's game. Today was the first game that I was able to see. And it was, they effectively played small ball. Now, you know, Freddie Freeman wasn't in there. Betancourt wasn't in there. Simba wasn't in there. But you had Eric Young. You know, you had a lot of bunts. You know, I could see maybe it's not going to be a disaster offensively. And yeah, that they can really vie for second in the NL East. All right, guys, that is the show. So tonight marks our return to weekly shows every Sunday night throughout the season. Please make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our shows. As always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows and to check out our blogs and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at @ATLBaseballTalk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.
Had to admit the problem.